I'm glad he got the email. Good morning again. It's okay to be comfortable at times, isn't it? It's okay. It's okay to be comfortable in our lives. Some of us have plenty of money. Some of us have plenty of friends and family, great children. Some of us have a nice home. It's okay to be comfortable. Amen? I mean, it's okay to be comfortable. I didn't mean that earlier. And it's okay to have the things in life. And you got to understand that all those things come from the Lord. Amen. When we're following after Jesus Christ and we're in a relationship with Him, His Word tells us He will bless us. Now, there's things we have to do in order for that to happen. And one of them is faith. Actually, that's the biggest thing, is faith. So this morning, listen, we're going to talk about faith. And when I mean comfort zone, that's what I want to talk about this morning, is where are you in your comfort zone, in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because listen, as a church, we have a community. Sometimes I wonder if we see outside the doors of First Baptist. I really do. I've said it before in this position. I wish we were more of a soul-winning church. And we're getting there. But it takes you to be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes in order for that to happen, we have to be a little adventurous. We've got to allow God to take us out of our comfort zone and go places that we're not comfortable going. Now, that's not easy. It's hard. It's even hard for me, and this is what I do. I'm a pastor. It's hard sometimes in this world that we live in, sharing our faith. Can everybody relate to that? So sometimes it's uncomfortable to do that, but it takes faith. You know, when I was growing up, well, I'll take this time in the pulpit to say I'm from South Bend, Indiana. Yeah. Brother Bill really loved me on January 7th, by the way. He was so gracious to me on the 8th. I think I told y'all, maybe I didn't from the pulpit, but he gave me a roll of duct tape. It had Notre Dame logo all around it. He told me I could either use it tomorrow morning to patch up my wounds or to close my mouth up so I don't brag too much. But as I got a little bit older, I chose to go live with my mother. My mother and father were divorced, so I moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. And while I was living in Little Rock, you know, as any boy would, we found the best places to swim in the area. And we found this rock quarry that actually, looking back, that's probably why I'm bald, because the water went absolutely nowhere. It just stayed in this big pool. It was like a lake with no fresh water coming into it. But I can remember those days when, of course, I wasn't as adventurous as some other people. There were guys climbing up 15, 20, 25 feet and diving off these cliffs into this rock quarry. And, you know, I was the one that I'd say, okay, I'll see you in the water. And then I'd climb up this 6 or 8 foot tree, you know. But one time in particular, I climbed up probably about 15 feet or so. And, man, I was scared. I was so scared. I can remember. My knees are shaking just thinking about it. I can swim. I'm not a Mark Spitz type. I mean, I'm not the strongest swimmer, but I was just worried about, you know, going in head first. So it was really neat because, you know, we knew the water was cold and all the people were watching. So I just get this running start and I just cannonball it, you know, and I grab my knees and, man, I hit the water and you know, it seems that I went down so far, and for those of you that have swam in pimp ponds and stuff like that, as you go down so far, what happens? You can't really see the light. The water starts to get darker and darker, you know. But I'm thinking, I did it all the way as I'm coming back to the top. And then as I get out, you know, I'm freezing, and people are cheering, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yes, I can't believe I did that. That was awesome, you know. And then it was like, you know, I dry off, warm up. And then it's bombs away again. You know, it was an adventure for me. Do you ever live your life like that? Do you ever live your life like that, where life is just one big adventure? Where you love others with a reckless abandon, without them loving you first? That's a hard thing to swallow if you're not. Because it's easy to love people that love you, isn't it? But sometimes we get taken out of our comfort zone when God calls us to love the people that don't love us first. Or what about hurry yourself into a creative work that's only worthy of God? That's a pretty adventurous task as well. You know, what about follow Peter as he followed Christ onto the sea? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. Have you ever had a point in your time where you lived a life like Peter did? We're going to see this passage right after Jesus fed the 5,000. And we're going to see his encounter with Peter and the disciples. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already over a mile from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, we look back in verse 26 and we see how immediately Jesus, here you have the disciples, okay, and the wind's going crazy, all right? And the disciples saw this man walking on the sea and they were terrified. I can't really blame them, I'll be honest. Sometimes in our life, when we're on the rocky sea as well in our lives, and we see Jesus far out, sometimes we don't take that step of faith and reach out to him. And it was hard for them this day as well. In verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them. "Have courage," Jesus said. "It is I. Do not be afraid." We've got to understand today, church, that anything we do in life, we can trust in him. Anything we do in life, we can take that step of faith and know that he is there for us. In verse 28 and 29, we kind of see Peter's big adventure. "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." And what's Jesus say? He says, "Come." You know, today some of you may be walking in little faith, and Jesus is calling you to come. Live that adventure. In verse 30, we see Peter get scared. "But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" In 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand, didn't he? He reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to you, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And then I love, if you think of this whole passage together, okay, here you have the, just off of a spiritual high where Jesus fed the 5,000, and then they're in the boat, and the winds go crazy, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water. And then Peter cries out for help, and Jesus says, "Come." And then all of a sudden what happens? The winds stop. You know, it's kind of like one of those go figure moments. That's what happens when we walk by faith. And we see Peter living this big adventure in this passage. And I want to kind of talk to you today about being in your comfort zone and allowing God to take you out. And when God takes us out of our comfort zones, we are living a life of adventure. You know, I'm going to be honest. Some of us are boring. you laugh. That's okay. I don't really mean you. Are you? Are you? I mean all of us. In a way, we're boring sometimes. You know, we're doing a study on Wednesday nights in Boomerang. That's a shameless plug. Oh, by the way, let me just add something. On Sundays and Wednesdays, we have open classes. One is the Lion's Den, which William Darby will be preaching in tonight. And the other one on Wednesday nights is called Boomerang. So if you're not involved in a discipleship and a discipleship class, and when Lead You kicks back in the fall, we're going to have two open classes, okay? So you don't have to commit to a six-week or the CBD with the 52-week thing, 52-week commitment. Okay, where was I? Oh, on Wednesdays, we're looking at a book called The Unchristian, and we're kind of breaking it down and seeing what outsiders think of us. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what people outside the church think of you as a Christian? If you haven't, I think we really should. I think we should take it to heart what the lost think about Christianity, Christians, and the church. So what they think about the Word of God, what they think about us, and how we apply it, or the lack of application, and what they think about the church. I think it's important for all of us to understand what lost people think of us. Because when we better understand the things they're going through, listen, we were all once lost, right? It's different. Things are changing. Things are really changing. And people think in a different way than what they did maybe 20 years ago. Listen, we've got to be in a place in our lives where we take our comfort. And we take where we are in our lives, and I mean in a worldly sense, the things we have, but also mostly in a spiritual sense, and who we are in Jesus Christ. And those two need to morph together to be able to make an impact on the world. We've got to share the things that God has given us. People on the outside need us to come alive. People in the world need for Christians to come alive in Christ, and they need to see that. And it boils down to a word that I live by, and that's real. I am by no means perfect. And that's the way I minister. I was late in life coming to know the Lord. So I went through a lot of stuff. You know, I talked to one of my buddies the other day, and he talked about some of our friends back home in Little Rock that have over the last 10 years have gotten saved. We were just talking about some crazy people. And I mean crazy in a way that they partied and they were wild and they were, you know, but they've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is amazing. And as I was talking to them, we were talking about how we have not changed. I haven't changed. The only thing different is me is that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And the same with you. Hopefully you haven't changed. You know, sometimes I know of young people that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's like all their friends just run away from them. They haven't changed. I guess what I'm saying is be real. You know, we shouldn't have this holier-than-thou attitude with people. We've got to be real with people. God is real with us. He's a real and living God. So allow Him to take you out of your comfort zone. But be real. Be real. We've got to understand that when it comes to our comfort zone and when it comes to living our life as one big adventure, life is not a problem to be solved. It's an adventure to be lived. It's an adventure to be lived. You know, I think that's the nature of it. And it has been ever since God set the stage for this high-stakes drama and called the Wild Enterprise us and everything in it, and called the Wild Enterprise that He created good. I believe it's been that way from the beginning of time. You know, God rigged the whole world in such a way that it only works when we embrace risk as the theme of our lives, which is to say, only when we live by faith. Because it's risky living by faith, isn't it? Not for you. It's risky living by faith, isn't it? Faith. What's the definition of faith? Somebody define faith for me. Yeah, that is risky. Believing in something that you cannot see. Faith. That's risky. Now, that's being taken out of your comfort zone, isn't it? Because we only want things that we can touch and then we can fix, that we can manipulate with the words that we say. Sometimes we've got to just step back and live by faith, things we don't see, and trust the Lord. God's rigged the whole world in a way that it only works when we embrace faith. And I wonder sometimes, can we truly find happiness and joy in our lives, in our work, in our family lives, in our relationships with our friends and family, in our school, can we truly find happiness unless we're living by faith? Adventure is living by faith. Look, I've been having a blast here lately. I'll be honest. Is Dr. Curran here? Hey, the cat's gone. The mice will play. Look, I'm going to have to tell you, I have had a blast being on staff with Dr. Kerr this last year or so. He is real. He is absolutely real. But the man is adventurous. He looks like old... Is he in here? He looks like he'd be this little square, little northerner, you know? I can say that since I'm from the north. But listen, his vision... We are blessed to have a pastor with the vision that he has. We truly are. And he is stretching us. I know he is stretching me. I think I'm an inch taller since when he got here. It is a true blessing to have a man of God lead us like he is leading us. Every day, I feel every day is an adventure. When I wake up and come to work, I have no clue what's going to happen, honestly. I may have my day planned out, and God takes me in a totally different direction. And a lot of that has to do with the leadership of our church right now. But that's okay. I think all of us, when we wake up every morning, we put our pants on one leg at a time, ready to hit the ground, running for the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing what's going to happen. I want to challenge you to allow God to take you out of your comfort zone and live adventurous. Maybe there's some things in your life that you're afraid to do because, frankly, maybe you feel like you're too old. Maybe you don't feel like you have the resources to do it. Maybe you don't feel equipped to share your faith. Trust in the Lord and live by that. Live by faith. What is it? What is it that God's called you to do that you haven't done recently, that you haven't done? You know, again, like I said earlier, we don't need to ask the world. We don't need to ask the world what they need. Because what the world needs is that all of us, as Christians, they need us to come alive in Christ. We've got to ask the Lord what makes us come alive and allow Him to do that in us. The world needs people who have come alive. You know, think about it. Think about it this way. Taking some characters from the Bible. I mean, what would have happened if Moses would have listened to his mom's advice never to play with matches and steer clear of all burning bushes? Think about that. What would we have done if Moses would have listened to his mother's advice to steer clear of burning bushes? You know, we wouldn't have a majority of the New Testament if Paul didn't follow the voice of Jesus on the Damascus Road. And where would we be if Jesus Christ wasn't fierce, wild, and romantic to his core? And he was. When you see Jesus in the Bible, he lives by adventure. He lived by faith in his heavenly Father. If we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we should model our lives after Jesus. Now, I know he was perfect, and we'll never reach that status. But he should be inspiration for us. To go places where we don't feel comfortable going. To say things. Imagine him busting into the temple and doing what he did. Don't you think that was out of his comfort zone to a certain extent? What about dying on the cross? If that's not uncomfortable, Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. He even was wondering. He was praying to his Father about what was getting ready to happen. Jesus was taken out of his comfort zone, even though he knew what he was supposed to do. You know, come to think of it, we wouldn't, talked about Moses, I talked about Paul, we wouldn't be at all if God hadn't taken an enormous risk on all of us in the very first place. So we see men in the Bible who are adventurous and live by faith. You know, I think that what happens is most of us spend our time and our energy squeezing risk down, squeezing it down to a more manageable size, so we don't have to go be taken out of our comfort zone and do things we don't want to do and say things that we don't want to say. I want to challenge you today. Listen, if you had permission, and that wouldn't come from me, if you had permission to do anything in your life that you could do, what would it be? And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in a spiritual sense. But also, listen, even in your everyday lives, what is it, you guys? What is it that you've never done that you've always wanted to do? You never know what tomorrow's going to hold. Go do it. Go do it. Live life with an adventure in mind. Live life with a passion. If you had permission to do whatever you really wanted to do, what would it be? You know, I don't think the question is to ask how. Don't ask how. What that's going to do is that's going to cut your desires off at the knees. Don't ask how I can do this. How is a faithless question. It means unless I see my way clearly, I won't believe it and I won't go forward. Don't ask how. How is God's department? Maybe today he's asking you what? What is it? What is God calling you to do with your life that you've always wanted to do? And maybe it's a thing with some of you that you know he's calling you to do something, but you're afraid to take that step of faith and allow him to take you out of your comfort zone like he did Peter, like he did to the disciples all throughout the New Testament, like he wants to do with every single one of us. You know, I ask those questions knowing that probably every single person sitting in here can answer that question. God's calling each and every one of us to something. If we're in tune with him enough, like we should be, he's calling each and every one of us to change our lives or to go do something in a way to take us out of our comfort zone. You just got to listen and be obedient. You know, he is asking you what? What is it? It's the what that's written on your heart. It's the what that makes you come alive in Jesus Christ. And remember what I said? That's what the world needs. The world needs people for us to come alive in Jesus Christ. You see, your calling is written on your true heart. And you discover it when you enter the frontier of your deepest desires. So what are those deepest desires? Think about that today. I want you to jot them down sometime this morning. And I want you to pray over them. If you want to share them with me or Brother Bill or one of our leaders or Dr. Kerr, the rest of the staff, so we can hold you accountable for that. You know what one of my desires is? You know what I'd really like to do? I want to jump out of an airplane. Yeah. Just want to kind of show you where I'm going in case some of y'all are dozing off. Doesn't necessarily have to be a spiritual thing. God wants us to live our lives with passion, no matter what we do. Another thing I'd like to do, I'd love to race a car. Just one time, I want to get a car. Of course, my wife would never let me get in one. And I want to go about 200 miles an hour and dive into that corner going left. You know, and trust those tires. You know, that just excites me. Those are two things I want to do with my life, that I want to do before I pass away. before the Lord takes me home, I want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And I want to race a stock car. Now, how about you? Think about it. Think about it. On a spiritual level, for me, you know, some of you that are close to my wife and I and our girls, that you know that international missions is something that we've come close to doing. That's a desire of mine. For some reason, God, no offense, OB, has kept us here. But I would love to be on the mission field. I would. That's another desire that I have. Now, that's something that's a little bit, see how you mix the one, the kind of the secular decision and the, you got to go where God leads. But I, as far as sharing our faith and as far as being stretched in our relationships with our spouses and our children, there are things that I know God's calling all of us to do. So go. Don't ask how. That's going to cut your desires off at the knee. Ask God what. He's asking you what. And that what is written on your heart. And that's what makes you come alive in Jesus Christ. So what is it, church? Your calling is written on your true heart once again. And you discover it when you enter the frontier of your deepest desires. And what is God calling you to do today? What adventure does God have for you? What adventure does God have for you? Allow Him to take you out of your comfort zone. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this time. And Lord Jesus, I pray, God, I pray that You will give us clear direction. Give us clear direction as church members, and give us clear direction as a church, God. How You want us to be adventurous in our community, in this state, in this country, in this world. God, You have us at a special place right now. And God, I know there's some even in this room, God, that You are calling to step out of their comfort zone. God, You want to use us in a big way, Lord, but it takes more than just a few. God, where You have us right now, I pray, Lord, that You will continue to raise up leaders, Father, to reach the lost in this community. And I pray, God, that as we're taken out of our comfort zone, we will understand, God, when You do that, Father, You also equip us and You give us the tools. And I pray over our church right now. Continue to give us a passion to see the lost come to know You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.